This morning, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 11. I want to read verses 31 and 32. Luke 11, 31 and 32. Jesus is the speaker. He says, "The Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." What Jesus tells us here is that on the judgment day, we're going to be judged by Jesus. But there's also another factor involved. Jesus claimed of himself in John 12 and verse 48, "He who rejects me and he receives not my word has that which judges him. The words that I speak will judge him in the last day." And the Apostle Paul agreed with this in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, when he said, "Truly, on Mars Hill, truly, the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." Of course, referring to Jesus. We also noted in Paul's letter to Corinth, the 2 Corinthian letter, the 5th chapter and verse 10, that all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And finally, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." But what is Jesus talking about when he says others are going to do some judging on that day? What's this mean? Well, the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, is mentioned here in Luke chapter 11 and verse 31. As being one who will rise up and judge those in the last day. And also the men of Nineveh in Luke 11 and verse 32 will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. Now, my question is, in what way will they judge the generation of Jesus' day? That's the question. Might they also judge us on that day? Well, the question is worthy of consideration. In what way will they judge? Well, let's look for just a moment at the Queen of the South and look at historical background on the subject of the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 10. And verse 1, "The Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with hard questions." Sheba was likely a city of Arabia, probably what is now called Yemen. It's located on the south of Judea, at least 1,200 miles. Now, I said that to emphasize the Queen of Sheba didn't just go next door and knock on the door. She made an expedition to come to see Solomon. Now, when she came, we read in the text here, she came with a great entourage. She had a great deal of wealth with her. But notice, she was amazed by Solomon's wisdom and his wealth, both. Amazed by them. And Solomon, of course, in respect for her, because she was a queen. When she praised Solomon and gave him gifts, he in turn turned around and gave her gifts. This was very common amongst people of royalty in that time, in kingdoms of the East. Now, the question is, now let me know a little bit about her. The question is, why is she going to condemn? Well, first of all, we notice she traveled a great distance to hear the truth that Solomon had to offer. In Luke chapter 11 and 31, she came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, what is the caveat Jesus put on this? While she traveled a great distance to hear Solomon, the ones that Jesus was speaking to on this occasion had access to one who was far wiser than Solomon and better and greater than Solomon. Now you see the situation. You see the situation. By past example and future testimony, she will condemn those who rejected Jesus. She'll condemn those who rejected Jesus. Now, will she condemn us? Well, if we reject such easy access to God's Word today, the answer is yes. And if we allow such things as time and distance to keep us from learning the truth, attending assemblies for worship, going to gospel meetings, etc., 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 yes, she will rise up and condemn us. Well, that raises another question. Might others condemn us? By the same token that the Queen of Sheba might stand and condemn us, might others? When you stop to think about it, there are Christians today whose example might put us to shame. Think about it. Places where people have to use public transportation, travel great distances, often in feeble health. I was just reading this past week of the work being done in Zimbabwe. A young man that I used to have in my young men's training class in Colorado Springs is over there preaching right now. And these people travel on dirt roads by foot just to get in there and hear the gospel. And they are thrilled at the opportunity. Thrilled. Might they stand in judgment and condemn us who can't get the energy together to get an air-conditioned vehicle and drive 10 or 15 minutes and sit in a chair in an air-conditioned building to hear the gospel? Let's think about that. Very good possibility that they might rise up with the Queen of the South and condemn us on the judgment day if we make excuses for not making the effort to learn the truth and to serve the Lord. Fact is, there are even non-Christians whose example could put us to shame. Those who make great sacrifices for their political or religious views. And we aren't willing to sacrifice anything. It's only if it's convenient for us. Think about such people and ask yourself the question, do they serve their ideologies with greater fervor than we serve the Lord? It's worth thought. But time's going to get away from us, so let's take a closer look here at the men of Nineveh. The men of Nineveh. Little historical background. All of us, I'm pretty sure, are familiar with Jonah. Jonah was sent to preach to the Ninevites. In Jonah, the book that bears his name, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" Jonah was a prophet of Israel. Nineveh was a Gentile city. Now, if you can't see the conflict here coming, you'll see it pretty quick. Because chapter 3 begins, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." What? That's right. Jonah didn't like the idea. He didn't like the idea. "And the word of the Lord came to him a second time and said, 'Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. He cried out and he said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" Now, it took a miracle to get him there. Did you notice that? See, you notice I left that out, didn't I? I wasn't going to talk about the great fish. Because that's not the point. It took a miracle to get Jonah there. But he walked through the city and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Nineveh was a large city. It was the capital of Assyria. He had a real solid message to give them. And how did they react? How did they react? Well, much to Jonah's chagrin, they reacted favorably to the message. In Jonah 3, beginning with verse 5, "The people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And the word came to the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Look at that response. Now, how did God see it? Well, God saw their works, saw that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. They started fasting in sackcloth and ashes at the preaching of Jonah. They repented. Not just the little peons, but the king himself calling for a national fasting and prayer for forgiveness. And it brought the desired results for them. Now, when you look at this, you think, why will they condemn the people of that generation that Jesus was talking about? Why? Well, the Ninevites heeded a minor prophet. In Luke chapter 11 and 32, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment of this generation, condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. Someone far greater than Jonah is a nobody. Jonah's a nobody. In fact, when you come right down to it, and we're going to get pretty critical of Jonah. Jonah was a sinful, foolish, bigoted prophet. That's pretty strong language. But you read the book of Jonah and see if that's not right. You see if that's not right. And he came to Nineveh with a message of damnation and a message of doom. That's what he went there to preach. And you notice something about this? Now you saw already what the results were, right? Do you notice something about it? It was a sermon without signs and wonders to confirm it. Not one word is said about Jonah performing any miraculous deeds in Nineveh. He simply went there and preached and got the desired results. But on the other hand, the Israelites rejected the Son of God. Look at Luke 11:32 again. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation, condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. How is he greater? Well, he is sinless. He is wise. He is a compassionate Messiah. And he brings a message of grace and a message of redemption. And in fact, really, he preached many sermons that were verified with signs and wonders as being from God. No doubt about it. Therefore, by past example and future testimony, they will condemn those who rejected Jesus. Hands down. No doubt about it. But we ask the same question we asked before, and I think it's worthy of consideration. Will they condemn us? Well, I don't think there's any doubt that if we reject the words of Jesus today, they will stand in condemnation of us. And if we refuse to repent and respond to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, despite the multiple opportunities that have been given us, they will stand in judgment and condemn us too. No doubt about it. But might others condemn us? Well, there are Christians today, I know this sounds like a broken record, there are Christians today whose examples might put us to shame, who respond in faith and respond in repentance as soon as they understand what the will of the Lord is. Might not such rise with the men of Nineveh to condemn us in the judgment day when we make excuses for not obeying the truth in spite of the fact that we have heard it time after time after time? Think about that. But again, there are non-Christians whose examples would put us to shame, who quickly respond in obedience, even though they're obeying religious error. They respond in obedience. We're made to wonder, do they serve their false religions with greater fervor than we serve the Lord? Think about it. Those who follow the Watchtower Society, those who follow the self-proclaimed prophet in Salt Lake City, think about it. And that brings us to this question. With whom shall we stand in judgment on the judgment day? Think about it. Will it be with the Queen of the South and the men of Nineveh, like we've talked about this morning? Or will it be with those like the Israelites who rejected the Savior that was sent to them? Think about it. The answer depends on how we make use of the opportunities that are given us. Whether we will make the effort to learn the truth, and whether we will make the effort to heed the truth. Even more than the Israelites of Jesus' day, we have been given a great opportunity to know, to learn, and to obey His message of grace and salvation. When we reject it, all we can expect is to be condemned. Not only by Jesus, not only by Jesus, but by all who have received His message in faith and obedience. Think seriously about it.